All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. What'd you say, Angela? No, that's Tuesday. 2 Corinthians 12.
That's funny, because that's exactly the last place I was at when I opened up.
Well, good. 12. We, 12, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9.
Hello, hello.
And we, let's read this passage, I guess. Just read the verse first. I guess we'll start at verse 1.
Verse 1 and 12.
It is Paul is writing to the Corinthians. You know, they had pretty much rejected his authority for the most part as an apostle, and one of the reasons why they rejected him was because he didn't fit the bill of what they thought an apostle should be, much like us. You know, when you think of going to church or you think of a preacher, you don't expect to see somebody who's being persecuted. You don't expect to see somebody being run out of each city that he goes to. You don't expect to see a person that's being rejected by the very people that he's preaching to. But that was Paul. So he has a right to them. And you know what was really... sticks out in this was he did have authority, didn't he?
Yes, mm-hmm.
Yeah, unquestionable authority as far as God is concerned, right? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
We looking at when we went through Galatians, we saw that there was nobody to use this terminology who could hold a candle to Paul when it came to authority.
Yeah.
But they still rejected him, didn't they?
Yeah.
So he writes to the Corinthians. He says, "It is not expedient or necessary for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up unto the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's the verse we want. You know, I was thinking that we come, we talk about grace all the time. And we talk about grace from a standpoint of living in the dispensation of grace. No works, no baptism, no tongues, no tithes, a lot of the doctrinal things. But grace encompasses more than just the doctrine. There's a doctrinal side to grace, and there's a practical side to grace. I remember this was years ago where it was in Detroit, and I preached a message called the Other Grace Message. You know, that's the one nobody talks about. You know, where, and I won't say that, but it's, you know, one thing about the North is there's a lot of It was more technical. You know, Yankee in the house, right? It was more up here. More head knowledge. But when I came down here, I saw, you know what, people down here, it's more emotional. Mm-hmm. You know, like Ed and Ned, we can talk about them since they're away. But I was saying that he was here. When I first got here, you know, and we began the fellowship, and when you get ready to go, and they would always say, and they say to everybody, you know, I love you, and they want to hug you. I didn't shake hands. But, and I thought,
right,
what's wrong with these people? You know, it's like, I've only been here 2 weeks. Like, how?
I love them.
But, all right. But, you know what? And I would leave, and I would think, like, man, this is it's kind of radical. But then I thought, you know what? The Lord said, maybe it's you.
Mm-hmm.
Say, maybe it's you that's disconnected from the way it really is. Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, like one of the passages, Paul said this to the Ephesians. He says, greet one another with a holy kiss.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, but, so I said, that's grace. Right? So that's why I say it's a combination. So now I thought I was balanced, which I feel like. But you see, there's a balance to this thing where it's not just, you can talk about love. There's three types of love, you know, and there's agape love, there's eros, there's filial love. But you know what? But it's not displayed.
Yeah.
So what good would it do for you to define the three levels of love and you don't show it? Paul said, if you speak with 10,000 tongues mm-hmm. and have not
love,
he said, it profits nothing. I'm getting away. But the grace we're talking about is we all have problems that we deal with in life. We all have issues that come up. Well, Paul would say it's either the sufferings of this present time or the sufferings with Christ or for Christ. And then there's just things that we do that you have to, you know what, bear the consequences of. You know, suffering for your bad decisions or bad decision making. But even with that, we still need grace.
Absolutely.
Now here's the catch, is we think this. We think that the grace of God will get us out of it.
Mm-hmm. We want to be saved from that.
We want to be saved out of it. Look here. It does what?
It takes you through it.
And that's what Paul says here. Listen, here's Paul. When God called him in Acts chapter 9, you know what he said? He says, I will show him how great things he must
suffer.
He told that to Ananias. Paul had no idea yet. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And he said, just wait, and I'll be back. And he told Ananias, you go tell him, because he's a chosen vessel, and I'm going to show him how great things he must suffer mm-hmm. for my name's sake. Mm-hmm. And he did. Look at Acts 9. Mm-hmm. Hold your hand in Corinthians. We're coming back here.
Mm-hmm.
9:15, right. Matter of fact, drop that. Drop Acts 9 and turn to Acts 26. I just quoted that one, so I'll take you to another one to amplify that. Verse 12. 26:12. At midday, O King, 13. At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those in the which I will appear unto thee. 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now here he says, I'm going to deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I send thee. Right. But in Acts 9, he says, I'm going to show him how much he must. So from those two passages, he promised Paul that he would suffer and that he would what? Be delivered. That's Paul. That's not you and I. You and me. So Paul has been the leader, being the chief. He has to endure his sufferings and he has to be delivered until his course is fulfilled. That's why we got it now recorded. Right. For our benefit. But when it gets toward the end and he's going through, God's slowly eliminating things. Because here, back to 2 Corinthians, he says, I besought the Lord thrice, three times. Now we all, I remember occasions, I won't say one, occasions where you get in the jam and you begin to suffer from it. You begin to reap. And you say, Lord, if you get me out of this, I won't do it again, I promise. Or, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll do this or whatever. Yep. Never made those kind of deals.
Yep.
And at the same time, knowing that I'm not going to keep my end of the bargain. I know it. And after a certain while, I knew that God didn't promise me deliverance. I knew it. But he's, you know what? And you use the verses and you say, Lord, you said whatever I want to ask you for it. Mm-hmm. And I know he's not going to break his doctrine for me. He wants me to get in line with the doctrine.
All right, now.
Okay.
So you're making deals. And at the same time, you know that this is not working. This is not going to work. This is not going to work. It's like, but here's Paul being the apostle. And I think here's a man who sent handkerchiefs to people to be healed. Here's a man who's demonstrated the signs and wonders, healings, raised a man from the dead. And he's going through, look at chapter 11.
Of what?
Second Corinthians 11. Now, what Paul faced is what we face. Is we turn on the TV and all we hear is this. God don't want you sick, Jerry. Mm-hmm. He don't want you poor. Mm-hmm. He don't want you unhappy. Now, all the things that God doesn't want us to go through. Right? And Paul is in Corinth with some church members, and they're saying the same thing. They got these other apostles around who they're living prosperous. They're taking your money. They're using you. Jerry, go over here and get me so-and-so-and-so. And you go. Or I need $500. And you give it to me. They're taken from the Corinthians. You know, Corinth was like New York. You know, there was plenty of money being exchanged. And here's Paul, who's the apostle with the authority. And he says, I can't even ask you for money. I'm not even asking you to do anything. I'm suffering in a place of abundance. I'm going without in a place of abundance.
Yep.
And he says, I'm doing it. They say they're doing it for the gospel, but I'm doing it for the gospel's sake. So he said, here's a guy who's suffering, who's going without, who's being despised for the gospel. And then here's another group of people that say, you got everything. You're not suffering. You're much happier. And he says, I'm doing it for the gospel. And you think, wait a minute. Who's right here? Who's right? That's a who's right?
Who is right?
Thank you. Who's Paul is right. Paul, maybe I'm going too fast.
Do we need to disassociate the suffering from being who's right? In other words, if we see somebody
exactly. You can't see a person suffering and assume that God put it on them. Or you see a person suffering and assume that they did something against God.
Because that's Old Testament.
Because that's old.
When they would see someone suffering in the Old Testament, because they could look at him and say, well, that person's not right with the Lord.
Something.
Yeah.
Something went wrong, right. Now here, Paul said this. It's not only given to us to believe on Christ, but also to
suffer for his sake.
To what?
Suffer for his sake.
Well, how do you reconcile that with what everybody else is saying?
Two different dispensations.
You know what Paul told the Corinthians? He says, I'm praying that you will abound in this gift. It was the gift of suffering. It's like... Now, 11. Back to 11. Against Paul, against the apostles, other apostles... He said this.
What verse?
11 verse 12. Yeah. This started at verse 12. It's a lot of reading. He says, but what I do. Okay, 10. He says, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. That is his boasting as an apostle. He says, wherefore or why? Because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. He said, you know what? I'm showing you the real deal. Mm-hmm. I'm showing you how the gospel really is. So the people that say they're with the gospel, they'll have to switch. See, what when you find out what grace, living under grace, is about, and you stick with it, then you show to other people, this is how it is. You know, there was Sunday school I just left. This guy, this is a while ago. This is the pastor, and he got a deacon there. And one day they were talking about, he was talking about how sincere he was. So he was at this other big church. And this lady was well known in the church, and she died. So, and the guy, he said, we prayed. We touched and agreed. And he said, you know what? He still died. And he was saying, I wonder what happened. That, you know, it's we couldn't heal her or raise her from the dead. That's what he said. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm sitting there. I'm like, wow. So I just can't let this one ride. So I'm like, so let me ask you something, Brother Pastor. You know, you like that, Brother Pastor. Let me ask you something, Brother Pastor. Let's, I said, here's a question. Now, this is a promise. The Lord gave a promise. He said, but if you believe, where there are two or three gathered together in my name, if they believe, touching and agreeing on anything, it shall be done. Okay. Did your pastor believe? Yep. Did you believe? He said, yep. Did the deacon believe? Yep. I said, the problem wasn't with the faith of you guys. The problem was that it wasn't a promise to you.
Exactly.
God won't violate his own word for you. You know, he won't go back. We were reading in Galatians, and Paul said this: if I build again the things I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor.
Yeah.
God is saying, look, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
That's why it won't happen. That's why it doesn't happen, because he's done with it. So you could pray, you can get 20, 30. He's saying, I'm done with that.
What if they get bit by a snake?
I'm done. Snake, scorpion, I'm done.
And what if the...
Head to the Baptist. Closest hospital you can get to.
Quickly.
So, when after that question, he kind of... I saw the look on his face, but it still didn't click because he didn't have a background.
Right.
So you're telling me that God don't heal?
I
said, I'm telling you that the promise that you tried, it wasn't a promise to you.
Exactly.
Now, even with that, if you tell him, this shocks a man. Even if I'm going to quote the verse that I'm going to turn to him. Paul said this in Corinth, very verse book we're reading. He says in 15, he said this here, this thing here. Jerry, your back hurt, right? Your eyesight's bad, right? Okay. Somebody, Jerry, you got cough problems, coughing. Everybody got something.
Right.
Everybody got something. My brother right here.
Right.
We all got something. How many times you ask God to help your back out? How about your eyesight?
I don't think I ever did.
He just jammed me up. I mean, okay, we move over to... Just move to the other Jerry. How many times have you asked God to...
Yeah, I've asked you.
Okay.
And Lars, right side.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Is... God is not a spoon feeder. You know what I mean when I say that? When he healed people, they got healed. And it wasn't next month,
right.
Next year. I'm believing God for it. There was a lady in Detroit, and we used to have a Bible class. And another girl came in, and she was all on... Her mother had MS. And they just saw her mother was slowly getting worse. And they said, well, what are they doing? And they said, well, we believe in God, that God's going to raise her up. I said...
Good luck.
I said, wait, what are you going to do? What are you going to do in the meantime?
Right.
And she says, well, mama don't want this, mama don't want that. Mm-hmm. And it's seeing it, you know, what happened. It's just going. It's happening. And this was, I think it was 2 years ago. I hadn't talked to girls in a long time. 2 years ago, I'm sitting at work, and I get an email, pops up. And it was, is this Frank Tanner from Detroit or whatever? And it's like, I was like, wow. It's like technology is something. But I said, she got my email. I was like, yeah, you know. And she says, well, I just wanted to know, my mama just died. Mm-hmm. And it's like, mm-hmm. like, I know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sorry to hear that, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, not blah, 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 but I thought, when people are indoctrinated with the wrong beliefs, mm-hmm. you expect God to do things, and then you might, your faith is shaken because you are trying to make God do some things that he never said I would do. Mm-hmm. He never said it to you. So then you have to either drop the whole thing or you have to change your belief system. And we operate out of hearsay, out of ignorance. Mm-hmm. We don't ever check things out. I don't say ever, but. So when the deal, when it falls through, you got to have somebody who knows what's going on to come to you and say, let me tell you why that didn't happen.
Amen.
To restore your faith.
Amen.
Yes.
That makes a person angry with God, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
some people do.
Angry
with God
because
they say, God
didn't do it. Right. Right. You're right, Mike. Or they'll say something else. They'll say this. It was God's will.
It must have been
God's will.
My faith wasn't strong enough. Oh, that's the thing. My faith wasn't strong enough.
Yeah. So, right. One of those several catch-all phrases, right? So, okay, 2 Corinthians. Back to that. What verse is that? I don't know. 11. I stopped at a verse, but 12. I'm sorry. Yeah. But what I do, that will I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. That's where we left. For such are what?
False
apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So they say, you come on over to the meeting, because at this meeting, God is healing. Or God is delivering. There was a man in Detroit. He had handkerchiefs. He was mailing out. He had letters that he was doing something with. And he had gallons of water that was supposed to be holy water. Wayne T. Jackson. He owned down here. He's on. Well, no, that's a different guy. But he had water, gallons of water. And we're thinking this. On TV, this is on TV. It's jam full of people every week. And for that man to get on TV with a straight face and make the claims that he's making, and you know those people aren't being healed. So how you know that, Brother Frank? Because I live in Detroit. That's how I know that. You can get out of there and you can see they go in there on the walker. Next week, guess what? He same guy, same walker, he in there.
They need another gallon of water.
Look, it ain't enough water out there to make God do something that he said he was done with.
Yeah.
They don't, it's not in the earth, that water. So, but they make these claims. And basically, they try to exempt, to say that you're exempt from suffering. Whatever it is. The present times, there was a, and we'll get to this in a minute. There's a guy at one of the other classes, And every time something happens, Hurricane Katrina, whatever it is, all this earth, anything, God's angry with everybody. He's angry with Louisiana. He's angry with New York. He's angry with any natural disaster. And I was like, wait a minute. You are a pastor, right? What are you going to do with Romans 8 and 2 Corinthians 5? I know you don't. He didn't know either. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to quote it to you. Romans 8 says that. I ain't going to quote it. I'm going to let you read it. We're in 2 Corinthians, so look at 2 Corinthians 5. Romans, yeah. 2 Corinthians 5 and Romans 8. 30. Romans 8:18. You in 2 Corinthians 5 first? Mm-hmm. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5, he says, 19. Mm-hmm. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world. Would that include Louisiana?
Yes, the world.
The people in Louisiana?
The world.
The world unto himself, not imputing their
trespasses.
What's another? What, say it again, brother.
Sin.
Not imputing their sin. Not counting their sin against them. Mm-hmm. Now, my brother said that's why Hurricane Katrina came. Because God was counting their sin against them. Mm-hmm. But my apostle father said what?
Not imputing, charging their sins against them.
Nah. Who am I going to go with? Who are you going to go with? So when those things happen, how do you explain it?
He's
in a cursed world, brother said, Romans 8. Mm-hmm. You got to validate that, Brother James. You just can't say that. So he said this in Romans 8.
18.
This is, who's writing this?
Paul.
Is, for I reckon. That ain't a guess either. That means I done sat down, I've got the information. Which his came from the Lord. And he says, now, adding it all up, my conclusion is this, based on the facts, that the sufferings, that the what?
Suffering.
That the sufferings of this present time are not
worthy
to be compared with the
glory
which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. This way is. Let me read that again so it could saturate a little bit.
Yeah.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Let me keep reading.
Mm-hmm.
Say it again. You said what?
That's us.
What's us?
The sons of God. That's us.
That's us. And it said the creature is waiting for what?
For us to show up.
For what?
For us to show up.
I love that. You know why? Because I'm not making her say that. I'm not making that verse. The verse is saying that. That's why I love. That just gave me chills. But she's reading that and the Holy Spirit is showing her that she's believing the words. The creature is waiting for her to show up. And is earnestly expecting that.
No.
This actually is a little too much involved in this. That's not our subject, so we're going to have to move on. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know, some of us, my brother didn't know, but we know that the what? The whole creation. Not just the United States, but what? Not just North America.
The whole creation.
The whole creation. You know that big old round thing that we see on the map?
Yeah. That's what he's talking
about.
The whole creation, like
and
the heavens.
And I will say, and those things that you don't see. Okay. And they what? They groan and travail in pain together until now. And not only they, but
ourselves
also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for what?
The adoption.
What is that, Paul? The wit to know or to experience the what?
Redemption
the redemption of our bodies.
Yeah.
Now, hold on. If I'm waiting for that, why can't I go down the street and the guy said, I can give it to you right now?
You can heal right now.
That's what they say, right?
Mm-hmm.
God says that I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
God says, I'm doing this. But this guy down the street, he says,
I'm doing
it. For a small donation.
It reminds me of Satan's temptation of the Lord. You can have it now.
You can have it.
Yeah.
You don't have to go through any of this. You can get it right now.
Bow down before me. Yeah.
Oh, y'all got to go? Okay. So, for we are saved by hope.
Mm-hmm.
But hope that is seen is not hope.
Okay.
For what a man seeth,
what
did he yet hope for?
Okay.
If you get delivered from your suffering right now, right?
Yeah.
What does God have to do? Where is your expectation?
Mm-hmm.
Where is your expectation for the blessed hope?
Mm-hmm.
For what a man sees, what does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our what?
Infirmity.
Our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, wait a minute. We just went through all these chapters with Paul telling us all these things that's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, we don't know what to pray for. You know, that's what they tell us, that we don't know what to pray for. But Paul, he's saying these things. I don't want you to be ignorant about this. And he goes through and he's telling you this. And he says, for we know. And then he gets over here and he says, now, about this infirmity thing. About this infirmity that you asking about. He says, we're waiting for something. We're waiting for the redemption of our bodies. And the sufferings of this present time is going to happen to how many? All of us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, how are you going to get away from it? How can you? So now here's the thing is, he said this, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. In this chapter 8, is all about what God's purpose is for us.
Okay.
And his purpose won't be changed. That's how when a man trusts Christ, it's done.
Amen.
I don't care what you think about him. I don't care what he falls in. If he trusted Christ, if he's overtaken in a fault, like he said in Galatians, guess what? he's just overtaken in a fart. People don't like that. But that's why he said, now, if you're spiritual, you go over and help him. If you can't help him, then let him sit there. That's what he said. If you let every man bear his own burden. But if you're spiritual, if you can help him, go over there and help him. And don't forget, it could be you.
That's true.
You that are spiritual, you know, you got his best interest in hand, go help him. And don't go over there saying, I knew it was going to happen to you. You don't go over there. He said, considering in meekness. Right? He says, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. If a man's, and Jerry, he jammed me up the first time, but he said, I can't remember asking God for that. I guarantee you, he's an exception to the rule. My grandmother, she hurt for 7 years. And I know my grandmother. I know her. Right? And I know she's a praying woman. She has zeal in prayer. No matter what I say, it's like, Mama, I said, God ain't healing. And she get that look. Like, I didn't bring right. I didn't bring you up like that to be doubt God.
Get behind me, Satan.
And I was like, year one. Now she had one knee replacement. But she got other things: diabetes, heart problem, ankle bad, knee bad. So, and that's year two. I see it getting worse. She's steady praying, steady going to church, hopping over there, you know, and they telling everybody, you know what? God's a healer. He can heal you. You, if you have faith. And I'm sitting there, it's like, I'm looking around. I don't have to look too far because I'm living. I can see it. I see it. I got the information. I was like, Mama, let me show you. Look.
She don't want to read that.
Yeah, I was like, I know, but God is able. Like, he's not able to lie.
Right.
And if he did it, he'd be lying to you. He'd be lying to us if he did it. See, without background, you don't understand that. Without background, you said, that guy has lost it. That's why you sit there. That's why you sit. Look. And God says this. He says, I'm going to adopt you. I'm going to give you a what? A new body.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to patch that up. I'm going to give you a new body.
Gonna be better than anyone you ever had.
Okay.
Top of the line, man. One that you ever seen.
So I do have a question. So people who have gotten better, they weren't healed.
Now, hold that thought.
Okay.
So he says, likewise,
yeah,
the Spirit helpeth our infirmities.
Right. Yep.
For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he, the Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to what?
The will of God.
So, the will of praying God. These prayers, he's making the, he don't know what he needs to be praying for. This is what he needs, Lord.
That's right. That's exactly what he's saying. So you sit down, you saying this, Lord, if you get me out of this,
mm-hmm,
and the Spirit's saying, Lord, what's he saying? He said, Lord, he don't mean, he said that, But what he needs,
he's interceding.
He done turned me.
He changes it. He intercedes according to the will of God.
He needs to go through this because tribulation works
patience.
Yeah. Patience, experience,
hope, make it not ashamed.
Because we know
God is shared in our hearts,
right,
by the Holy Ghost.
So when I'm down in the dumps,
come on now,
and I'm suffering,
come on,
and it's killing me,
come on,
and I done prayed,
that's right.
And it's sung it, and I prayed.
Yeah.
And it ain't nothing happened. If you don't know the will of God, you will say, he left me.
Oh, I did something wrong. Or my faith is not strong enough.
But when you know, you can sit there and you say, I know he loves me.
That's right.
I don't care what happens.
Yeah. That's right.
I don't care what happens because I know where the promise is.
Amen.
You know, I think about mature faith and such like Ananias and Sapphira had.
Thank you.
You know, didn't matter what you know happened on the outside. They say even if he don't, you know, I'm still gonna trust him.
That's it. That's what Job said. Though he
slay me.
I should trust.
Because Job said, he said, know what? I don't know what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, but I know about this man.
Yeah.
And I'm sticking with him.
Yeah.
And that's what, when you're going through the sufferings, it's I got 6 minutes.
Okay, but don't come back to verse 9 and 6,
so,
because his grace comes
right.
Okay.
So but that's what he does, is the Holy Spirit takes our prayers. Because until you get to know what to pray for, so why would I go through life, say, in particular with the suffering, we're going to use the physical. Lord, heal me. Lord, heal me. And you just read that we're waiting. In Corinthians, he said, this body is going to be sown in weakness. This body will be sown in corruption. Corruption. That means, you know what? It's falling apart. Right. It's falling apart.
Let me ask you something. Were you just in Romans 8, 26?
Yes. We were in 21. But we get, 26, right. 8:26, right.
That's the passage that I gave my past employee when his wife died. He didn't know what to pray for.
Yeah, I remember you saying, you sharing that story. You know what? Even when you're given that passage, that's good. That's good consolation, because even if he doesn't know what's going on with the verse, he knows that I got a helper.
There you
go. That does know what's going on. And he's interceding for me.
But this is a prayer that starts in heaven and it comes right back to heaven.
That's I would say, with a purpose. But the thing is, we gotta be educated about what God's doing. How many people go week to week, day to day, expecting God to heal them? Look, it's on TV. This is on TV. This is, millions of saints are duped. Millions. And pretending. I know. You say, how you know the pretension, brother? Show me it's not. Listen, there is no way. There is no way that God could be healing and it not be on a wide scale, published abroad.
Right.
There's no way. When you hear about somebody, how come it's nobody? You know what? If God's healing, the first person I expect is my grandmother.
The
law
of praying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because we can start right here.
Yeah.
And that's just one little old church down in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Now look, in Acts, where Peter said to that man, he says, I don't have any money.
Silver and gold.
I don't have any money, but what I do have,
I give unto you.
And he says what?
In the name of Jesus, rise.
And that man said, I'm believing God for my healing. I'm believing it.
No,
he got up,
mm-hmm.
leaping
mm-hmm.
and praising God. And they says to the people said, the leaders, they said, well, nothing we can do. He said, we know this is a notable miracle. Notable. That means this can't be denied, brother.
Verifiable.
Now, if God, listen, if God's healing, why are the preacher's dead? The preacher is dead, not the member. The preacher is dead. The preacher of the healing is dead.
Right.
That reminds me of a Clint Eastwood movie where the guy was selling the bottle. The bottle, it does everything. You know what? It does this. It removes stains. It removes, no, it does it. And then he spit the tobacco on him. And he had a white suit on. He spit the tobacco on his suit. And he says, well, how is it on stains? So, but here's the man. He's telling you how great the healer God is. And he got false teeth and glasses.
Oh, wow.
Come on. Now, you mean that he can't start with the little things? Does that make sense? It might sound. I'm trying to. Okay, back to second. He said this. All right, let's just read. Let's go through 8, then back to Corinthians. He says, and we know, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, mm-hmm. for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be what?
Conformed.
To the
image of his son.
That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Mm-hmm. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And then he goes on to say, what shall we say to these things? He said, when you got saved, God had already determined that I'm going to transform you into the image of my son. Like you said, it's to change our vile body that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Vile versus glorious. There's a change that has taken place and it's called the redemption of our body. So he says, I will do this, Jerry. Not the guy over here. That's something I'm you waiting for me, right? You are waiting for me, right? You are waiting for me, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So he said, well, wait with patience. And then in the meantime, that's why he says we don't know what to pray for, because you get that time, you say, oh, you know, the older folks said, oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
So all these years they've been reading the Bible, they just didn't get it. They don't know where it's at. They hadn't found it.
They've been mostly steered in the wrong.
It could be all of the above. So, okay, back to now 2 Corinthians. I meant to spend more time in 2 Corinthians, but
now you come back.
Well, you know what? I got next week. I got another week, don't I?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going?
No, I mean another week here. So, here's when Paul. He says, I went to the Lord and it was really bothering me. Now you think of it, he just listed a whole passage of things that he had been through. I mean, shipwreck, persecution, night and day in the deep.
39 lashes, Satan.
All that. All that. And then he says, but this thing, for all the sufferings I went through, he says, I didn't ask God for nothing. But this one thing, it was so bad. He said, I asked God. Not once.
Three times.
I asked him three times to remove it.
That thorn in his side or somewhere.
And he said unto me,
my grace.
You don't have enough faith.
Oh. My grace.
My grace.
That's it.
And he said unto me, go get the elders.
My grace.
And he said unto me, where two or three. One more short. Right? And he said unto me, you have sin that you're not dealing with. And he said unto me, my grace is for thee. My is made perfect in. Now, next week we'll finish up the rest of it.
It's a cliffhanger, huh?
How's that?
Yo,
and the theme, grace will take you.